Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Saturday, March 5, 2022. Johnson deserves respect for his transformation of the court. Changes leave awesome opportunity for those prepared to lead. Stuart Doreen, editor. Anyone else ready for a needed spring break? It is nice to have another set of elections in the rearview mirror. Not surprisingly, the sun did come up the next day and actually gave us a preview of spring. A little rain would be nice if anyone has the direct line to Mother Nature. There is a lot to hash out, and plenty of time to do so. Today, I'm just going to offer some thoughts about the primary elections and what they mean to Midland. It was the Terry Johnson Show. There are still swearing-ins to take place after the November general election, but let it be written that March 1 was when the court was created. Politically, there should be a lot of respect for how this was accomplished. Johnson and Jeff Sommers really left no doubt in their results. The fun part about a transformation, and that is what this will be, is when new leadership takes control, there are no more excuses for why things take place. It is an awesome opportunity for those ready to lead. Robin Donnelly's loss is a blow. Let me say I think Sommers deserved the win and will represent his precinct well. However, it was tough for me to see Donnelly fall in the Republican primary. He is a roads and transportation guy, and there aren't a whole lot of road guys, like Robin and myself, out there. You don't win elections being a roads guy. You don't win elections talking about planning massive changes to interstates, state highways, and road systems in general. It isn't politically sexy, but it is needed. When it comes to roads, a good city or regional planner is worth their weight in gold. The average person will never fully understand that. Donnelly did. For that reason, his loss is a bummer. Abbott winning is a good thing. The governor dominated Midland County and the state of Texas. Considering the political talent taking shots at him, I can't imagine a better performance on Tuesday. Some people are not going to like this, but Abbott winning Tuesday was the best thing to happen to the Republican ticket in November. He is the top of the ticket guy Democrats did not want to go up against. Potential GOP voters in the suburbs and along the border know what they are getting with Abbott. No surprises. I'm still not happy that he pulled a political stunt of coming to Midland on the same day of a gubernatorial forum and didn't participate. I thought he was better than that. Still, he's put Republicans on his back before and carried them across the finish line. See 2018. That is political credit that his GOP opponents didn't have, and Beto O'Rourke doesn't have, and what Democrats will worry about the most. I have taken a lot of flack about the comment I made about the vote in Midland County not being suppressed. I still believe that to be the case. What I believe happened with mailed-in votes potentially not counting isn't the fault of Republicans or Democrats, or certainly not the elections office, but an electorate that is not engaged. By the time the primaries came around, everyone should have known there were changes to the process. This newspaper wrote about those changes and gave them to our readers straight from the elections administrator's mouth. There are some saying wait until November and the votes that won't be counted then. My message is different. I say I will stand with those who want to educate the community about the mail-in process. The Reporter-Telegram will work the Midland County Elections Office to get more information out there. We will work with nonprofits or other concerned Midlanders to get out into areas of the county to help the education process. Moving forward, there are two options. The first is to complain about the system, how it is not fair, and how it takes advantage of those who choose not to be informed. Or we can unite and call for louder, clearer voices when it comes to awareness and education of a system, whatever system is in front of the electorate. If you want to be part of the solution, I will stand with you. Give me a call at 432-352-0605. Midland County residents, it doesn't matter to me whether you are Republican or Democrat. You deserve the opportunity to vote, and everyone has that opportunity.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Odessa American, Sunday, March 6th. This is the opinion page. This column is called Our View. It is entitled, Disgusting Antics Don't Represent Most Odessans. The point? Last week's primary elections are in the books, and this newspaper has a couple of observations to make. First and foremost, we wish to congratulate those candidates who won their respective primary battles, and we also want to thank their opponents. By and large, these races were constructive ones, in which the candidates did a good job of arguing the issues in a spirited but civil manner, something that ultimately enabled voters to make decisions that were better informed. That is a good thing. And then there was the GOP primary race for District 81 state representative between incumbent Brooks Landgraf and challenger Casey Gray. Landgraf captured 80% of the votes cast. The landslide was the largest margin of victory for Landgraf to date. But it will take a month's worth of showers and a lot of soap to wash off all the slime that was concocted and flung about in this race by Gray and his supporters. We won't repeat the despicable charges slandered around against Landgraf. This community has had all it can stomach of that. Landgraf's attackers took a primary race and turned it into porn. And the massive margin of victory for Landgraf only proves that many in this community don't approve of this sort of campaign. But it bears noting, because it represents what has become a growing dark side of local politics. And it will only get worse until enough people stand up and call it out. Wake up, folks. If what happened in this recent race disgusted you, then you need to look at those who supported Gray. Take note of those who donated to his campaign, essentially providing the fuel for such a disgusting display of trying to win at all costs. And then you need to ask yourself, why would I ever give any credence to anything these people would ever say again? Central in this sleazefest has been the executive board of the Ector County Republican Party. We put quotations around executive board because their actions more aptly resemble those of a backroom good old boy political machine or a local political goon squad. Some of the board's members have ties to larger statewide groups such as Texas Scorecard and Empower Texans. And their local antics are straight out of those groups' collective playbook. They say they are all about accountability when actually they are all about total political control. And they have proven they will stop at nothing to achieve such control. They will try to chew up and spit out anyone that fails to kneel at their feet. They have tried to take control of Commissioner's Court, City Council, and even the Odessa Development Corporation. And they will continue to do so, harassing elected or appointed officials until they get what or who they want. Ronald Reagan famously invoked what he called the 11th Commandment, "Thou shalt not speak ill of any fellow Republican." But members of the local GOP executive board have been on a crusade to eat their own, working overtime to destroy the political and personal reputations of those deemed heretics by their political cult. The latest onslaught against Landgraf was the worst yet, but it is certainly not the first. These groups have been after him like a rabid dog since he was first elected to the legislature, all because he refused to be their errand boy. the local GOP party executive board has seen more than its share of controversy. Many in the local party don't approve of their antics and assert they do not truly represent the local party. But that doesn't keep the kingpins from trying to rule with an iron fist. Take, for example, their latest stunt. In the waning days of the recent primary campaigns, the board summoned Landgraf to appear before them and address the garbage that was being circulated by Gray and his supporters, including members of the executive board. Of course, this star chamber met behind closed doors. When this newspaper inquired as to who was actually in attendance, no answer was forthcoming. Landgraf refused to attend, saying he did not work for the group, but for his constituents. He wouldn't take the bait. Bravo. Funny, Gray has plenty of baggage on his plate, including pending legal matters in Wisconsin. But the executive board didn't summon him for a similar show trial. The sad thing about all of this is that it is eroding good government here in Ector County and beyond. Good men and women are already opting out of service because they have been worn down or scared off by these thugs who then insert their candidates who serve them rather than the people they are supposed to represent. It has been theorized that this was one reason State Senator Kel Seliger chose not to run for another term. So take note of all this, folks. Think about it. Remember who did and said and supported what and whom. And stand up to the bullies. This is the letters to the editor. Landslide, Landgraf. What a great title to read when I opened my Wednesday Odessa American newspaper. I am proud to see how smart the voters of Odessa and Ector, Winkler, Ward, and Loving counties continue to be by sending Brooks Landgraf back to Austin as our Republican state representative for a fifth term, with a clear 80% vote. A landslide vote for sure. Odessans saw right through the malicious mudslinging, demands, and outright lies being perpetrated by certain members of the so-called Ector County Republican Party, or Midland's Tim Dunn and his cover-up group this year called the Defend Liberty PAC. The reason for their animosity? It is simple. They want to control their candidates in every fashion. And Brooks, like so many others that serve us in Texas, won't cow down to them. Brooks and Shelby, I hope you both relish in this victory, as all true Odessans appreciate the time, energy, and talents you both give to make our city and the Permian Basin better. We are all incredibly blessed to have someone like Brooks Landgraf represent us in Austin. You, Brooks, are the head Republican of our Odessa and Ector County Republican Party. 80% of our local Republicans feel that way for sure. Keep up the great work. Signed, Kirk Edwards, Odessa. Pfluger is being part of the problem. Our Congressman August Pfluger would like us to believe that the January 6th committee was set up solely to be a partisan assault on ex-President Trump and Republicans. He obviously doesn't want people to remember that after the January 6, 2021 attack on our nation's capital, that there was an attempt to set up a bicameral and bipartisan committee to investigate the insurrection. Without going through all the details, the Senate Republicans torpedoed the idea. The House then set up a bipartisan committee, however two, Jim Jordan and Jim Banks, of the five selected by Minority Leader McCarthy, were rejected by Speaker Pelosi, as was her right. These two are known for their blind support of Trump and their attempts to overturn the results of the Electoral College. After being asked to supply two other Republican members, McCarthy, in an obvious political ploy, pulled all Republican members. Subsequently, one Republican member, Adam Kinzinger, was added to the one Republican, Liz Cheney, that Speaker Pelosi had already selected. Therefore, there are two Republicans on the committee. Representative Pfluger's statement that the committee is strictly partisan is disingenuous at best. Several months ago, Representative Pfluger took the time to call my wife and me after we had written to him with our concerns about January 6th and the former president's continuing lies that the election was stolen. I appreciate the time he took and was encouraged when he told me, after being prodded several times, that President Biden was legitimately elected. This was amazing, since he objected to both Arizona and Pennsylvania when the votes for the Electoral College were counted. Unfortunately, since that time, I have not heard him confirm President Biden's legitimacy in public. It appears that Representative Pfluger fears the ex-president's wrath if he speaks out. Representative Pfluger has even gone so far as to praise Trump after meeting with him on the border. On the anniversary of the attack, President Biden told the truth about the cause. The events of January 6th were the culmination of the big lie. Unless the big lie is called out by our representative and other leaders of the Republican Party, the danger to our democracy continues. Until such time, Representative Pfluger is part of the problem. Representative Pfluger certainly has the right to oppose the policies of President Biden. I may not agree with many of the congressman's positions, but we can agree to disagree. He does not have the right, however, as my congressman, to refuse to stand up for our democracy. He knows the truth. I simply ask that Congressman Pfluger publicly reject the ex-president's lies and repeat what he told me privately. President Biden was legitimately elected. Perhaps then, Representative Pfluger could help lead in our country's reckoning with the truth. Signed, Dan Hamilton, Odessa. Meeting energy needs. I just attended the 2022 Permian Basin Water in Energy Conference hosted by the Shepherd Institute /UTPB. As someone who knows absolutely nothing about the oil and gas industry, I was astounded by the amount of water that is produced and utilized in the production of fossil fuels and the need to recycle and or dispose of the wastewater. The genius and dedication of the professionals in the field to produce safely the cleanest fossil fuel in the world is something that should be celebrated instead of being denigrated. There is no question that climate change is real. But at the same time, so is the need for more energy production than can be produced strictly by green energy. Dr. Ray Perryman quoted from a DOE report that by 2050, there would be a need for 47% more energy from fossil fuels than is currently being produced, and another 2 billion people on this planet who will need energy to survive. Now we have the problem created by the Russian invasion of Ukraine and the disruption in energy supply this action will create. It seems to me our government, in creating its energy policy, should determine how much is needed, how much can be supplied currently by green energy, and allow the production of fossil fuels and its use, like the proposed Nacero plant will provide, to fill in the gap. As more green energy is brought online, fossil fuel can be reduced. But if the experts are correct, there will always be a need for a steady, reliable supply of fossil fuel to create the needed energy to support mankind. Why not use the cleanest and best that is produced right here in the Permian Basin? It seems to me to be common sense. But common sense seems to be in short supply with our government. I want to say thank you to all the hard-working professionals in the energy field who are working so hard to be sensitive to the environment and at the same time producing the energy we need and utilizing the water generated in new and sustainable ways. Signed, Charles Cotton, Odessa. This page is called Other Voices. This column is called Guest View. It is entitled World Water Day Celebrates Water and awareness of the global water crisis. By Bishop Emeritus Michael D. Pfeiffer, OMI. Bishop Michael Pfeiffer, OMI, is the Bishop Emeritus of the Diocese of San Angelo. World Water Day, March 22nd, focuses on the most essential element of all life, which is water. The value of water is much more than its price. Water has an enormous and complex value for all our households, food, culture, health, education, economics, and the integrity of our natural environment. World Water Day is an annual United Nations observance started in 1993 and focuses on the importance of water. World Water Day celebrates water and raises awareness of the 2 billion people living without access to water. It is about taking action to tackle the global water crisis. The theme of World Water Day 2022 is Groundwater, Making the Invisible Visible. Groundwater is invisible, but its impact is visible everywhere. Almost all the liquid water in the world is underground. Water Day is to inspire action towards sustainable development. Water and sanitation for all by 2030. We love water, and it goes without saying that we love our planet. So World Water Day isn't just a celebration of water, but a global reminder that water and climate change are inextricably linked. Water is under extreme threat from a growing population, increasing demands of agriculture and industry, and the worsening impact of climate change. According to the UN, there are 129 countries not on track to have sustainably managed water resources by 2030, and the current rate of progress must be doubled. All water begins at a local level. Therefore, corporate, agricultural, and industrial must take into consideration the impact of their water use on the local population and surrounding ecosystems. According to recent reports, the American West's mega drought deepened so much last year that it is now the driest in at least 1,200 years, and is a worst-case climate change scenario. Climate change is literally baking the water supply and forests of the Southwest, and could even get worse if we don't address more seriously climate change soon. Sustainability involves maintaining or improving the material social conditions for human health and environment over time without exceeding the ecological capabilities that support them. God gave human beings the gracious gift of earth with water for our use and that of future generations. Our mandate from God is to care for and complete the work of creation and to perfect its harmony and growth for our good and that of our neighbors. Pope Francis highlights World Water Day by quoting from St. Francis in referring to the natural resources as sister water, which he described as a wonderful and irreplaceable gift of God. It is necessary to assure potable water and hygienic services to all. In his inspiring and challenging letter, On Care for Our Common Home, Pope Francis calls for an urgent conversation about the crisis of water and other ecological issues affecting our common home, and addresses this call to every person living on this planet. Groundwater is being overused in many areas where more is abstracted from aquifers than is recharged by rain and snow. Groundwater pollution is a particular problem that can take decades or even centuries to recover. We must protect groundwater from pollution and use it sustainably, balancing the needs of people and the planet. Protecting the vital role of groundwater must be reflected in sustainable development policy making. World Water Day calls all of us to a water management and resource distribution ethic that must be guided by considerations for the common good of the people of the world and the natural systems of the planet itself. Our fundamental orientation towards the creative world should be one of caring, gratitude, and thankfulness to God for the beautiful planet Earth which is our common home.
Am I too old to donate blood? To your good health for Friday. Dear Dr. Roach, I am proud that I have given blood on a somewhat regular basis for nearly 60 years, as soon as it's been 58 days since my last whole blood donation. The blood bank starts sending me emails and phone messages urging me to donate again. They have been very aggressive lately because of the shortage of blood drives and donors due to the coronavirus. However, the older I get, the more I feel drained after a blood donation. The 8-week interval between blood donations rule is the same for an 18-year-old as for a 78-year-old. I am in good health, but I don't feel that my blood can replenish its blood supply as efficiently now as it did years ago. Am I too old to donate blood? Dr. Roach writes, there is no upper age limit for donating blood, but you shouldn't donate blood more often than you are comfortable doing. 60 years of donating blood is a record to be proud of. The bone marrow is normally able to replenish the red blood cells that you donate after 6 weeks, but it might be prudent to have your doctor check your blood counts and iron studies next time you have a visit. The blood bank does check your blood count before you donate to make sure it's safe, but your counts still might be lower than your normal. You can also donate on a schedule that you like, whether it's 8 weeks, 12 weeks, or never again. If you do choose to donate again, though, thank you on behalf of our patients who need the blood. For readers out there who have never given blood, most haven't, consider taking some of the load off RW and other regular donors.
This is the Dear Abby column. Man's behavior centers only on himself at home. Dear Abby, I refer to my husband as the most single married man I know. He turns off the lights, turns off the heat, and turns off the TV while I'm still watching or still plan on being home. His latest single thing is that he planned a birthday dinner out with our son and other family members. Guess what? I found out about it from the birthday boy. We have been married almost 50 years. All our children are in their 40s. I have spoken to him numerous times about his forgetting my presence in a room, but I have never been excluded from a family birthday until now. I am thinking of writing a book titled The Most Single Married Man I Know. What should I be doing differently? Signed, Forgotten Woman in New Hampshire. Dear Forgotten, if this has been going on since you and your husband were married, accept that he is someone who is unusually centered on himself. If this is something relatively recent, he may need to be physically and neurologically evaluated by his physician. If there is nothing wrong with him, recognize it's time to fend for yourself. Remember to monitor the thermostat, keep a flashlight handy, and be prepared to explore activities you enjoy in case your husband forgets to include you in the future. Dear Abby, my best friend's father recently passed away. A memorial has been planned on the day of a wedding I had agreed to attend with my girlfriend. In this situation involving two significant one-time life events, is it more courteous to defer to the living or the dead? Signed, Unsure in Southern California. Dear Unsure, much depends on your relationship with both of these people. Because your friend may need emotional support during this sad time, I am inclined to suggest that you go to the memorial and have your girlfriend attend the wedding so you will be represented. If you explain the circumstances to the person who sent the wedding invitation, there should be no hurt feelings. Dear Abby, I recently received a board game as a present. The problem is that I don't like the game. I live alone on disability with a very limited income and don't have anyone to play it with me anyway. When I mentioned to the giver that I was thinking of returning it, they almost burst into tears. The giver is a relative of a close friend and lives with her. I really could use the money. What should I do? Signed, Wondering in Wisconsin. Dear Wondering, I have said this before, and it's worth repeating. Once a gift is given, it belongs to the recipient to do with as they please. Because you don't like the game, have no one to play it with, and need the money, return the darn thing. Your mistake was announcing your intention to the giver. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.